In the recent Gallup poll, more Americans now believe the Bible is a book of fables and history than those who believe it is the literal word of God, and fewer than one-third of professing Christians say it is to be taken literally. Over the last three decades, Americans view the Bible as the word of God has been declining, while the view that it is a collection of myths, fables, and history recorded by men has been increasing. 24% of those polled said the Bible is to be taken literally, word for word. 28% says it's a book of myths, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by men. 42% say they believe it is inspired by God, but not all intended to be taken literally. Many archaeological finds prove the historical authenticity of the Bible, but can we prove it is the literal, unchangeable, eternal Word of God? Three things we'll look at today to answer the question of whether the Bible is just words of past wise men, feel-good stories, or God-breathed. First, I want to look at some archaeological evidence that historian scoffers once said did not exist. Today, many historians are willing to accept the Bible as history, but still not accept that as proof of the rest of it. Second, we'll look into prophecy. If the Bible said something, would it come to pass? And it did. Would that not prove it was the Word of God? And last, the same thread of salvation of the religious righteous runs from Genesis to Revelation, and the requirements do not change. So point one, archaeology. The Dead Sea Scrolls. In 1947, a shepherd stumbled across a cave in the rugged, arid area of the western side of the Dead Sea, where they discovered was proclaimed to be the greatest archaeological find in the 20th century. Over the next few years, other similar remote caves in the area were found, over 800 fragments, and many consisting of Hebrew letters on leather or a few on parchment, coming from almost every Old Testament book. They found Isaiah in its entirety. But as of this writing, they hadn't found any from the book of Esther. Hezekiah's Tunnel. In 1867, Charles Warren discovered a vertical shaft cut through bedrock that led people of Jerusalem reach the waters of Gihon Spring during the time of Hezekiah. This was dug by two teams coming from each end until they met each other. An inscription 20 feet from the Siloam Pool was discovered, giving a description of the two cutting teams. Although it possibly predates Hezekiah, the conduit mentioned in 2 Kings 20, King Hezekiah prepared Jerusalem for an impending siege by the Assyrians. By blocking a source of the waters in the upper Gihon and leading them straight down to the west of the city of David, which is 2 Chronicles 32:30, by diverting the waters of the Gihon, he prevented the enemy forces under Sennacherib from gaining access to water. I'm going to read the references given here to Hezekiah and the tunnel. 2 Kings 20:20. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And 2 Chronicles 32:30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Upper Gihon and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Then there's Pool of Siloam. If you turn to John 9, verses 7 through 11. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this who sat and begged?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "He is like him." And he said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Quoting from Patterns of Evidence in September 2023, in recent weeks, Jerusalem archaeologists reported significant progress in the evacuation of the Pool of Siloam, a sacred heritage site where the Bible records the miracles of Jesus healing a blind man. A set of 8 more steps had been unearthed descending into the pool, which was about the size of 2 Olympic swimming pools, and were used by millions of Jewish pilgrims as a ritual bath before entering the temple. During the Second Temple period, millions of pilgrims visiting Jerusalem would wash in the pool before ascending to the Temple Mount. Along the path, archaeologists called the Pilgrimage Road. This was the city's main street that led directly to the temple. At that time, the pool had been renovated and expanded to the largest size, about 1.5 acres. It's exciting to be part of a story that's bigger than ourselves, to be part of bringing a story to life that has significance, not for millions, but for billions, said the Director of International Affairs for the City of David Foundation. The pool is thought to be the same one 2 Kings mentioned and Hezekiah built. At least 9 cities mentioned from the Bible have been discovered, leading experts to have to admit the accuracy of the history of the Bible. Samaria, Hazor, Shechem, Dan, Beit Shan, Jericho, Gezer, and Shiloh, and Megiddo. Point 2, prophecy. The rise of the house of Jacob. Turn to Genesis 48. Read 17 through 20. Now when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand and removed it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son. I know he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel, will bless, saying, 'My God, make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh.'" And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. It has been said that the sun never set on the British Empire. There were a multitude of nations found around the globe. No other nation has met that description. U.S. become very wealthy, prosperous, most powerful nation ever of the descendants of Manasseh, but never held the prestige or power that Great Britain had before World War II. Messianic prophecy in our booklet, Jesus Christ's Real Story, the New Testament writers cite messianic prophecies from the Old Testament more than 130 times. By some estimates, the Old Testament contains 300 prophetic passages that describe who the Messiah is and what he will do. Of these, 60 are major prophecies. What are the chances of these prophecies being fulfilled in one person? He was prophesied to come through David from Bethlehem, conceived of a virgin, a sacrifice for sin. he would be crucified. His body would be pierced, but none of the bones broken. They would cast lots for his clothing. I'd encourage you to read the booklet because there's way too much in there to talk about here. An astronomer and mathematician, Pete Stoner, in his book Science Speaks, offers a mathematical analysis showing that it is impossible that the precise statements about the one to come could be filled in a single person by mere coincidence. The chance of only eight of these dozens of prophecies being fulfilled in the life of one man has been estimated at 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That would be like one chance in quintillion, which is 1 followed by 17 zeros. So what he's saying is there is a chance. And then point 3, salvation, offered through grace, but obedience is the sign between us and God. Exodus 31:13 speaks also to the children of Israel, saying, "Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you should know that I am the Lord who sacrificed you." Noah was saved because he kept the pure religion and did not go after the daughters of Cain. This is from the NIV on Noah, which makes it a little clearer that this is about faith, not about genealogy. Genesis 6:9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the peoples of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Abraham was obedient, even if it required the sacrifice of his son. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. In adherence to the Ten Commandments is shown as a requirement from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 2:1, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. Sabbath was set apart from the beginning." In John 1:3-12, in 1 John 3:12, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because of his works were evil and his brother is righteous." This shows "thou shalt not murder" was in effect before God gave the commandments on stone to Moses. Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Now all have been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." It turned to Revelation 12 and verse 17. Revelation 12:17, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went out and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." The followers of God kept his commandments from the beginning and will still be obeying God all the way to the end. The Bible has a theme of obedience running through it from beginning to end, and a God who does not change his promises. To the rise of Great Britain and the U.S. and the prophecies of the Messiah show that God is in charge. Archaeology has proven of the historical references. Once said to be without proof, or accurate to the point that even the educated of the world had to accept it. only a casual reader could conclude is nothing more than a myth or a fairy tale, and unreliable as a guide to our lives.